weeks ago, he preached about the timeline and about various Bible characters, and they were still living, and that got me to thinking, and I remembered that I had a chart, and so I brought some of them along to pass out tonight. Mike, acknowledge it with a smile or something, okay, thank you. I don't know, is he disgruntled because I gave a chart on the bridge? I mean, it doesn't seem like he would.
You were paying attention.
Yeah, I was. I remember that. Anyway, I want to pass it out when we're done. Because if I pass it out now, I may as well not preach. Because it's fascinating. You will see that Methuselah's son Lamech lived when Adam still lived. Okay? And that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 generations later. Okay? It is just fascinating to see who overlaps. And so I have that one. That's a freebie to hand out. And then I'm going to lay this over on the table. Okay, this is sort of laminated. It's a vinyl type thing. It's another Bible timeline. And it not only gives you the Bible timelines up through to the New Testament, but have you ever wondered, what about the Chinese people? Where were they? How do they fit into the Bible? Thank you. How did the Chinese people fit into the different Bible time events? And then, here I'm looking at the Law of Hammurabi. You maybe have heard about that in hearing about history. Well, where'd that fit in? Okay? And so the Iron Age. When it began. Well, where did that come in as far as Bible things? And this shows a whole lot of that stuff. I had another, unbelievably detailed one. Did I ever get that? Are you still in there?
Place.
I mean, let me tell you, it is so detailed. You have to go to college and learn how to read it. I mean, it is super detailed in showing all of the peoples of the earth and some of the events of major events of the earth and how they fit together time-wise, and particularly as we would be concerned with in the timeline of the Bible. Now, these things that are really super nifty are $4. Okay? If we get 10 to 24, they're just $3.50. Okay? So I'm going to lay this over there. If anybody, wants to look at it, and if it's something you think you'd like, whether there's three or four of you, or whether there's, 10 or more, doesn't matter. You can write your name on it, and then I'll order them when they come. You can just pay me then, because it, now, like I say, this one's free. But it's not as anywhere near as detailed as this. So, but I'm not passing them out until we're done. Let me read this. I think I read this earlier this week. You ever heard of Robert Murray McShane? Anybody hear of him? Okay. Depending on what Bible reading, Bible studying you do, his name may come into the play. The way this reads is, you can pray when you can do little else. Robert Murray McShane, now listen to these things. You'll understand some of the lamenting about today's educational system. Okay. Robert Murray McShane taught himself Greek at the age of 4. Can you imagine that? I mean, even if it was only how to use a Greek, what do you call that thing? Lexicon. That's amazing. You know, a lot of preachers go to school to learn how to use a lexicon.
That's right.
But it says here he taught himself Greek at the age of 4. He rose to the top of his elementary school now, you're not alone, okay? Rose to the top of his elementary school at 5. He entered high school at 8. And he enrolled in the Edinburgh University at 14. Now, a door latch isn't working. That's all that happened back there. You're not in an airplane, so don't worry. You won't be sucked out. Now, obviously, Robert Murray McShane was an exceptional person. There were many people back then couldn't even read. And here's this kid doing this, exceptional to be sure. At age 18, he began dreaming of ministry. Wow. We dream about a car, a Jeep, a four-wheel drive truck. And in our day, you know, we dream about a new cell phone. He began to dream about ministry. And the lifelong habit of morning quiet time was begun during this time frame. His journal for February 23rd, 1834. Give me a little time to calculate where that's at. In his journal, he wrote, quote, "Rose early to seek God and found him whom my soul loveth." Who would not rise early to meet such company? There are many of my generation and age that would not be able to say what she said in 1834. In 1836, he began pastoring St. Peter's Church in Dundee, Scotland, beginning each day reading God's word and praying. But McShane wasn't well. He experienced violent heart palpitations, growing so weak and frail that he took an extended trip seeking to recover. But he missed the church, and on February 27th, 1839, he wrote these words in a letter as he is pastor to the people, quote, "I wish to be like Epaphras in Colossians 4, always laboring fervently for you in prayer. When hindered by God from laboring for you in any other way, it is my heart's joy to labor for you thus. When Dr. Scott of Greenock, a good and holy minister, was laid aside by old age from preaching, some years before his death, he used to say," and then he quotes this doctor, "I can do nothing for my people now but pray for them." McShane said, "I feel the same." McShane only partially recovered, dying in 1843 at the age of 29. And yet, his name and his life has left a legacy and a mark that extends yet to this day. On the day of his death, nothing was heard in the houses of Dundee but weeping. Men meeting each other on the streets burst into sobs. Scottish ministers studied his life and methods for the next 100 years, and his collected letters and sermons are classics. He once said, "If the veil of the world's machinery were lifted, how much we could find is done in answer to the prayers of God's children." Amen. You see, we'll never know this side of glory, just what all is accomplished by our prayers. The prayers that you offer at home, the interceding you do for others, the communication you have with God, there are effects of it that we cannot see. And being from the culture that we are, because we cannot see it, we tend to quit. Because we cannot see the kind of answers that we would hope for, expect, yes, long for, we quit. I heard it said by, I do not remember who, that many a great need has gone unmet because they stopped praying the day before, maybe even the hour before. God would have been ready to answer. Faithlessness prevented the answer. Prayer. I've been talking about prayer. There's a beautiful garden of prayer. I doubt that there's any of us here tonight but what we would lament the time that we do not spend in prayer. Have you ever had a day that's just not gone right? When you go to bed at night, you pillow your head and you fall asleep, and the frustrations and the discouragement and the agonies of the day, I can't say at least are forgotten in sleep, but at least they're not on the conscious thinking level. You get up the next day and you go through another day, and maybe it's a little better, maybe it's worse. Many times it's just a repeat of the previous day. And inside there's a churning. Inside there's a... It isn't peace, whatever we describe it as. And perhaps we go to bed again. Perhaps we don't. But you've experienced, haven't you, when you've gone through, whether it be a half day, a day, or several days, as I've just described them, you've experienced it, I'm sure you have, when you finally thought to yourself and the Spirit of God put it on your mind, I need to get alone with God. Now, you may have had the routine of prayer or the routine of devotions, okay? Or maybe not. Maybe the busyness of the day just kept even that from happening. But nevertheless, you've come to the place where you realize, I've got to get alone with God. You've gone into that closet of prayer. Oh, not a literal physical closet. Perhaps into a room alone, away from the rest. And there, you've read the scriptures. You've asked God to help you. you've read some more scriptures, and you've thought about what you read, and you thought about where you're at and how you're feeling, and you've prayed and you've asked God to help. Sometimes we don't know even what to ask for. Sometimes all we know to do is say, help me. Just help me, God.
Amen.
You may pour your heart out to Him in what you know isn't going right, and where you are and how you feel. And frequently at the end of that kind of a time of prayer, now you don't do that in 5 or 6 minutes. As a matter of fact, you may not know how long you've been there. Oh, I realize sometimes you may go into a room and you may be starting that kind of praying, and because of a work schedule or you've got to go pick something up, you know, the pharmacy or whatever, okay? In that sense, there may be an awareness of the time frame, but the time isn't the important thing. It will have to last more than 5 or 10 minutes. You can't even have a meaningful conversation with another person in just 5 minutes. We're wanting to get hold of the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, the only one that can calm. Oh, we like to read the Bible stories. And don't you be too quick to take to task the Sunday school teachers that spend their time teaching their boys and girls the common stories of the Bible.
Amen.
Because it's in those common stories of the Bible that God is able to take and teach them. Why do you think God gave us these stories? And yet I've heard some who say that we ought to be teaching deeper things. Deeper things. Good night. How deep can a 6-year-old go?
That's right.
And what more has that 12-year-old learned? Oh, he heard that story about Daniel when he was in first grade, and then he heard it again when he was in third grade. I do hope that the third grade teacher is building upon the basics that the child got when he was in first grade, and not simply repeating the basics, maybe a little refresher of the basics, but then the third grade teacher needs to be expanding. Well, by the time this kid's in sixth or seventh grade, now we're able to put some real meat on the bones of that story of Dan. We ought to be. Why ought we to be? We ought to be because when along comes some evangelist, missionary, Bible teacher, some respected individual who stands up in the pulpit and preaches a mighty message on Daniel, we all sit there enraptured. All he's doing is taking us to the next level of learning. And you wouldn't be able to learn at that level if you had not learned at the previous level, and the one previous to that, and the one previous to that. I don't remember where it is, but it's line upon line, precept upon precept. Psalms, thank you. So these things we're building. Okay. For you teachers who've taught so long, so long, to you it's, oh, Daniel again. I understand that, okay? I really do. But believe me, you're building.
That's right.
You're working together as a team. And we cannot understand how much is accomplished in prayer. Oh, that's where we were. We were ourselves frustrated, discouraged. Yeah, maybe even defeated. Oh, you'd never know that to see us come in the door. How are you tonight? Oh, fine. I've said to people already when they've, how are you doing? I said, fine. I even lie with a smile. You know, you don't want to walk around sackcloth and ashes, you know, and wear emotions on your sleeves and whatever else, you know, they say to, you know, when you go out, you interact with people, that's not being false. But we need to get alone with God. We need to be able, it's great too when you can, and then you come out of the room. Those of you that have been at our house, you know where my office is, you know, and that's the room I come out of. If you go upstairs and to the left, that's where Pat's room is. And when either of us comes out of the room, when we've been having one of those, well, we're not on the mountaintop experiences, okay? I come out, how are you doing? I'm doing better. I met with God. God's there. I've got a message I've got to preach sometime. That message on my heart, God's home. It was a little booklet. It's what was put out by InterVarsity Press. Decades and decades and decades, at least 6 decades ago, that I got that book. Amen. Little booklet. And I'm going to have to do that sometime. It's actually a dramatic message. Okay? Because there's different parts of our life that are likened to the rooms of a house. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so the platform, okay, here's the kitchen. And then back here's the bedroom. And over here's another room. And I've got to do that. I have to try and remember that. My memory working? And we'll have to do that. But you see, when you come out of that room where you meet alone with God, and you can say to somebody else, well, okay, it's better. I've met with God. We can expect that. We can expect that. God wants to meet with us. God wants to help us. Well, we're going to end with that. I'm going to ask some of the fellows to come up and...
Zane, would you follow the pants out? It was a beautiful evening.